Many thanks for inviting me, for also continuing and complementing this technology day today on a very fascinating technology aspect that will strive 6G evolution, which is this sensing and communication. I try to focus on some aspects in the test and measurement background where Roden Schwarz, we see our expertise in, and I hope I can bring some additional information on that. So first, my first slide. If there's still somebody in the room after all these fantastic presentations we have seen who does not believe what ISAC is and if it will work, I just have here an example, which I admit and confess this is not 5G, 6G. This is a complete different technology from my colleagues who are working in the air traffic control. Yeah, they have this future combat air system, like a new waveform for airplane to airplane or airplane to ground communication. And they just did a trial in an airport using this helicopter. And you just see on the right side, you see the two screenshots from a spectrum analyzer with a micro Doppler taken at two different carrier frequencies. And you don't need to be a radio RF engineer expert. By just optically distinguishing, you see there is a difference. So you can easily answer the question when the rotor blades have been on. So that means just a simple motivation why ISAC is in that case. I also have a slide on all the use cases on ISAC that I'm going to skip, but probably one example to give you how ISAC is already in the community and also discussed by government. I'm in contact in Europe with lots of car makers in the automotive sector. And in the European Parliament in Brussels, they're currently discussing about a new mandate. Probably you know this e-call, automatic emergency call when you have an accident. And one of the next ideas, so-called child presence detection, that in the vehicle we used radio technologies like ultra-wideband or Bluetooth or Wi-Fi. And the idea is based on these sensing mechanisms to recognize that there's a small baby in the back and people want to leave their car for just shopping. Yeah, and in Arizona in summer times, so which is not a good choice. So that is one discussion where also government is bringing some mandates on that. We see ISAC in a standardization in 3GPP, and here they do a fantastic job in adding some kind of channel models. Why do we from the test and measurement world see these channel models as essentials? Because they allow comparison of results. Yeah, you're in a lab, you compare different results, different tests with different products, different scenarios, different executions. And these channel models, they are allowing to do a reproducible manner, a reproducible approach. But of course, they are not a reality. That's why we call this also this term like a digital twin. I think this slide I'm going to fly over. We have seen that several times with all the different sensing models. This is just my version of it. But then I would like to come back to this term radar cross-section, so which is a very important technical aspect. So the radar cross-section, let's say this is the electric image of a radar signal. An analogy would be from the optics. Yeah, if you have your eyes or you take a photo, a camera, and you take a photo of me standing here on stage. By the way, I might have a certain radar cross-section, I confess, but that means you get then what we know commonly known as a photograph, yes, a photo. Yeah. And now if you imagine you're a radar transmitter and then you get a reflection, and this is this radar cross-section. And why is this important? I just have here two examples in this radar world. One is the object resolution. If you have two objects, they are close by, can you resolve them? And therefore, we need, for example, as a technical parameter in the formula, you see here the number of antennas. So the aperture of the hardware. And why is this maybe relevant for us in the O-RAN world? That will bring us to new capabilities of a radio unit. So in working group 4, where I am, we need management plane. We need to discuss about what are the hardware and software capabilities of a future radio unit that is doing ISAC. And the other one is the bandwidth. This is the resolution. If you have two objects flying behind each other, what is then the resolution of that? This is also in the radar equations linked to the bandwidth. So this is then also getting a challenge for us in O-RAN, for example. I can do ISAC based on pilot signals. And the traditional pilot signal I know in 5G is the SSB. but the SSB is relatively narrow in bandwidth. If I want to use the reference signals in the traffic channel, the DMRS, but remember in 5G, the DMRS signals are linked to the content of the user identity, the physical channel, the PCI, cell ID, etc. So this is then probably a challenge when we have bistatic or multistatic that we need to exchange such information across the different radio units. Yeah, so also then impact I have later on satellites on the impact on ORAN. I skipped that one. The standardization is working on that. It's not only 3GPP. We have in Europe, in the ETSI, a working group that is dealing with ISAC, yeah, and architectures. What, for example, the ETSI did, they started to discuss a certain kind of KPIs. Yeah, so what do we have to identify with ISAC? So, for example, it's the object detection. Is there an object? First simple question, yeah? What size is the object? Is the object moving? At what velocity? At what direction? Angle of arrival? If we have multiple objects, can I identify them as multiple objects? Yeah, so, for example, in the radar world from the automotive people, if the pilot would be a vehicle, they have a fantastic test. If a person, a human person, stands close by that vehicle, yeah, from a human driver, that's a difference. When you see such a situation, maybe a small children standing in front of a vehicle, you are prepared to brake. Yeah, an autonomous vehicle who is just doing a radar, LIDAR, for example, might consider this as one large object. Yeah, so there is a big difference in that, in our human behavior. So that will be different KPIs that will then affect us in the test and measurement part. When I say about test and measurement now, we have to combine these different use cases. The blue color, that is, we are famous with that, familiar with that, yeah? So the KPIs in our telecom, data throughput, spectrum emissions, transmit power, we spectrum, yeah? We all are aware of that. In the radar world, they talk about the object size, the object velocity, the resolution, yeah, the angle. And now we have different sensor channels. So how can we add this and bring this into a kind of potential test setup? And here, for example, from Rohde & Schwarz perspective, we have various solutions. And the nice story is that the solution we are now using in the background of ISAC has been developed for a complete different purpose. That instrument that you see in the center of my slide is a radar echo generator. So we use that in the development of radar systems. So we can on purpose send a reflection, a signal that looks like this radar cross section of a certain radar object. So then the developers of a radar system can work on how good is their radar detection algorithm. Yeah. So under reproducible conditions. And that now can we use in the background of sensing by simulating in a reproducible manner, because that is one of our credo in test and measurement. It has to be accurate, it has to be plausible, but also reproducible. So then you can verify and also compare the results with other tests or other devices, etc. Yeah? So then we can use this to simulate some kind of radar echoes. And here's, let's say, I call this the non-signaling. On the left side would then be, for example, a real base station or radio unit. We have here cooperation with our partner Viavi of a radio unit, RU simulator, DU simulator, or we can use our signal generator. On the right side, I have then the UE, either a real UE or also a signal generator, UE emulator, and then we can verify the algorithm, how this sensing will work. In the next step, and that's also a future outlook, we may look ISAC in a situation of a real communication. So here on the left side, we have our base station emulator, our system simulator. We can simulate a 5G network and integrate some sensing algorithm. We have the radar echo. And on the right side, we have either a real UE in future, or now we have again cooperation with the DU emulator and radio and UE emulator, where we can now implement ISAC algorithms at both sides. So in the base station, as we have seen in some presentations like the D-App, where you have the ISAC algorithm in the radio unit or base station, and we can also have a sensing application in the UE, and maybe they can share some common sensing information over a 5G traffic channel. And that's some outlook that we also tackle in future. Then for those of you who like abbreviations and acronyms, here I have some more. Not just kidding, but the in the ETSI, they started a logical definition of this sensing, ISAC. And this is also then heading into the ORAN implementation. The ORAN, of course, we are experts in disaggregation. And that's what you can see in this model. So the sensing is disaggregated into this so-called SSP. This is a sensing service provider. Yeah, this is just like a server who is offering this service for doing sensing. But the SSP itself is not doing the sensing it on the radio layer. This is job of the SDIP on the left side. So we have a disaggregation between both. One who is doing the sensing as physical layer work and the other one who is offering the sensing as a service. It may sound like crazy. No, it's not in the logical model. This disaggregation gives us the flexibility, for example, to have several possibilities to perform sensing. It can be in the radio unit. It can be, for example, in the UE. It can be at another technology, like, for example, 5G, 6G, interworking with Wi-Fi, with Bluetooth, with radar, etc. So that is exactly why we have here these different models. And last but not least, we also have then a kind of client. Yeah, that is the device or the function that requests the sensing as a service. Yeah, so just here this logical model. Jan presented that project already, ComSense. Roland Schwarz was part of this research project. And in this project, I can also have a link to a public paper. We talked about an architecture model of this sensing. And by the way, this figure, I now saw it today in a report from 3GPP in the study item. So that is the first idea is in 3GPP that we will add the core network functions in 5G by a new function. And this is the sensing management function. And why, for example, we need a sensing management function that's probably shown on the right side. We talk about like a monostatic sensing, like one radio unit doing the sensing. But in a real network, we have multiple cells, multiple base station, multiple radio units, and that has to be coordinated by this sensing management function. So sending the sensing as a request, getting sensing information back as a response, as a service, and then having multiple entities, that will be the job of the sensing management functions. Now the outlook in ORAN. ORAN is, of course, pretty staying time for these kind of ISAC applications because we, as we have seen in several presentations today, we can put ORAN as a software realization of the network. So we can have software functions that are working on ISAC and they can be installed or implemented on different network functions. If it's a D-app in the radio unit, distributed unit, if it's an X-app, an R-app in the RIC, in the SMO, and that will also be the case in sensing. We can do sensing on the latency critical physical layer, but we can also do sensing, let's say, which is less time critical, so non-real time in the SMO, for example. Yeah, if the sensing is not relevant, of course, we have seen this example of a drone detection that has to be done very fast. But if you want to just, for example, like a weather forecast, if a thunderstorm is approaching to a city, etc., this sensing is less time critical. So we have still seconds or even minutes to do perform such sensing. And that will be the flexibility in the ORAN architecture. But there has to be an impact on the interfaces. Yeah. So can we send sensing information over the front haul interface? So as a new traffic. Yeah. So we have the CUS plane. Will this be a new user plane? Will this be add on? Do we maybe need to talk to working group 9 to extend the capacity on the front haul interface? Do we use the E1 interface? Do we have the sensing as an application layer? Then what I might also expect, as I said, on the radio unit, what is the physical layer waveform? Yeah, the capability of the radio unit. Maybe I have a radio unit that is only able to do sensing on the SSB. Maybe the next radio unit is able of SRS in uplink. The next radio unit can do the full bandwidth. Yeah. Then when we talk about future outlook on multi-static, so we need to exchange sensing information from one radio unit to the other radio units, etc. As I try to take from this ETSI model, the sensing is a kind of request and a response. Yeah, so client server, like we know from the internet. Therefore, we also have an impact on the control plane, on the front hall. So the DU need to send a request to the ready unit to perform sensing. And how sensing shall be done, for example, then we have to discuss about our control plane functions. And the data, the sensing data will then be sent back. Yeah. And as I said before, the management plane, I see some different capabilities needed on the radio unit so that we also need to describe or standardize different capabilities that will be signaled either via young models or via the M plane control function. Yeah. This is here some more details. I skipped that slide for those of you who wants to go in all the details. So this is how this project we described, how these models can be implemented in the trade unit or in the distributed unit. Then talking about the test and measurement world, with this radar echo generator, we have the possibility to generate different radar echoes. Yeah, so the purpose is to test radar signals. And this can be now from a user interface, I can select different standardized situations, like a vehicle in front, like a pedestrian walking, different angles. Yeah? By the way, this is also used in other applications. I will not disclose too much. For example, sometimes you want to keep your radar cross-sections very low. Yeah. Look at the stealth airplane, for example. Yeah, they don't want to have. Another mechanism could be I will have like a doppelganger, yeah, that I would like to have a same device existing multiple times. Yeah. So for example, if I want to have multiple aircraft carriers in the Bay of Seattle, that would be a possibility that you can put them on smaller drones and then also generate so that maybe the other person sees a signal and sees multiple of those devices. So that is some applications why we have such a test equipment. And now just taking into reality, this is the first example how we are simulating the drones with the rotor blades in the instrument itself. From our model, you see here the micro Doppler, how we call that. And then just to verify, this is a real test with the same spectrum analyzer, but without the radar echo generator. So here we took then a real drone on the top of our building, flying and then getting a sensing information. So that's how we train then the models and bring them back into the radar echo generator that we can generate a signal according to that for the laboratory applications. And another example in a 5G private network where we cooperate with here, this example with Nokia, they had their base station for their non-public network in their factory. And then here on this chariot, we were then bringing in the radar echo generator and simulating then some scenarios like a pedestrian, a worker walking in the factory hall, like an automated guided vehicle driving in the factory hall, like a machine, a robot starting to move, etc. So these were some scenarios, and they were then helping here Nokia, the infrastructure people, to work on the algorithms on ISAC to recognize such situations. Yeah. And then coming to a kind of conclusion, when we say about the ISAC impacts on the standardization part in ORAN. So as I said, the first part will be talking about the ISAC data itself when we exchange them. Do we transfer them, for example, as a user plane directly as data, or do we also specify some compression algorithms? Will the data sensing be compressed? What kind of information do we get out of the sensing, the object size, the resolution, velocity, etc., the testing conditions? But we should also still bear in mind that ISAC, it says sensing and communication. So we should not neglect our existing test and KPIs on the communication part. And as an outlook, my last slide, also affecting the ORAN Alliance, why I'm fast, or let's say convinced that ORAN will have a nice future. On the left side, that is also for me the future of ISAC, that we do ISAC sensing based on multimodal situations. So we do not only perform on 5G waveforms or 6G waveforms, we will have then a full picture. Like, for example, interworking with wireless LAN, with Wi-Fi, interworking with radar technologies, with LIDAR, et cetera, et cetera. And that would be the advantage in ORAN, because we have these open interfaces. Yeah, we have these software functions. So then, for example, an SMO, a RIC, can use the open interface to collect such data from additional sensing capabilities. And that is something where I see then also in the long term, our standardization work to be heading to, that we also make that possible with this multimodal sensing in ORAN. And with that, my last slide, I use this quote with the Symphony Orchestra, and I'm happy to take any questions if you have time. Otherwise, there will be a panel discussions afterwards, but I'm here also today and tomorrow for any questions. Thanks a lot.
Okay.